All right, Cole, what are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, we reference it quite a bit, and I do not believe that we have worked one of these into a randomization before, but thank you for joining me at TV Tropes.
I never wanted to actually be here at as a place.
That's the thing.
I'm a creepy peeper, like, when it comes to this. Like, I just want to admire it from afar.
I'd prefer to lurk is the thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. I'll sit down.
Okay. Well, let's just take a look here. So at the top.
The couch trope. it's really couched and seating, as they say, as this troper says.
You sit on it and you list off every video game comic from the early 2000s. But at the top of the page, there's a random trope button and a random media button. And I figured I would press one of these and we would just see what we get. Like, maybe it'll a video game. Okay.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Okay. All right. And it's come up. Big Sky is an American police procedural drama television series from ABC. Yeah, this looks like some Disney Channel ass shit. That's not what we have. Yeah.
Disney Channel ass shit.
Oh, huh. Hmm. What kind of like troper would write about Big Sky? We got some kind of Big Sky troper here.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, and so does the game computer.
Good job, game computer. Good job, Cole. took me a second there. Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
Welcome to After Suffering, where we made way too much soup, so please grab a Tupperware from the bottom drawer, take some home with you. It's not bad, we just made too much.
But be sure to bring the Tupperware back, and also don't microwave it in the Tupperware.
Please.
Yeah, please. That's from Oyster. Oh, thanks, Oyster. Can we get a printout of you smiling?
Let's get a printout of Oyster giving us a randomization.
Yeah.
Or an intro.
Yeah. This is it's a regular episode. Normally I shouldn't say that, but I am buying time to bring up who demanded it. This is a patron demand, from Cody, who says, I suffered through this little shit and it turns out it's not even about Montana.
It's definitely not about Montana.
No, sometimes, I mean, like, the people of Montana are right. Sometimes the sky do be big.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has got nothing to do with that
album. Good King song. This is, so we talk about this phenomenon. It's one of the things I value about the show and this job is that feeling of just like this, as somebody who feels like I have a general working literacy of video games, just like finding out about a new thing. Did you know about this?
God, no.
Yeah, this is one of the more obscure, I think, just in terms of my gut feeling, which is not objective at all. One of the more obscure things we've done for this. I've never fucking heard of this game. I've never seen it on a shelf. And we go to, you know, when we're at full operating capacity, go to like two retro cons a year and flip through video games.
Oh yeah.
Video games. I've never seen this. I've never heard of it.
Not a single time.
It feels like it came out of fucking nowhere. Like somebody put together this Wikipedia entry like last night to pronk us up.
Yeah. I think Cody might catch them
pronxed.
I think Cody definitely is doing some kind of work here.
We've been inceptioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ZAM engine.
You could have knocked me over with a feather when I booted this up, and it had LucasArts. It had that that little opener, because again, I feel like I know a lot of things about LucasArts.
I played a lot of LucasArts games.
I did. But then you go and look at their page, and before they became all Star Wars all the time, they did do a good deal of like random shit. Like, I've never played Rescue on Fractalus.
Fractalus.
Yeah. but that's one of many, like the part of their stock and trade for a while was simulators, like, yes. Like pipe simulators. Right.
Yeah. Just kind of jobbing it up.
Yeah.
A little bit. This is not necessarily that. This is a game where it demos really poorly. Like, yeah. Playing it just for the show made it seem bad to me as a video game. Yes. Even though I keep seeing multiple references to it having incredibly advanced and deep mechanics.
Yeah.
It there's one sentence on this on Hardcore Gaming 101 that's like, people were put off by the contrast between the cutesy graphics and the deep, challenging mechanics. Huh. And like, it seems like Asteroid, and then you play the bad parts of Blaster Master.
That's precisely what I was how I was going, yeah, to describe it.
And that's,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Like what if a Fester's Quest that is sometimes a zoomed in Asteroids where the screen takes up 70% of your screen and, mm-hmm, your ship takes up 40% of that screen. You know? <Yep. laughs> Like,
yeah. And
what really crappy Asteroids.
What a Blaster Master, but if your character, if I hate that character was too small, what if he took up about a third of the screen?
Yeah. What if he was, yeah, two Fester's quests,
yes,
stapled together, like one Fester riding on another Fester's shoulder to sneak into a really big movie?
Have you been reading my Addams Family spec scripts, haven't you?
Hell yeah. The, yeah, one where Uncle Fester gets a pussy in the back of his head and another Fester could ride around on his shoulders while impregnating him in the back of his face. Fuck.
Yeah. 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 Of, yeah, course.
Yeah. He puts a light bulb in his mouth, and when it dings, that means the baby's ready, and he vomits up the third, yeah, Fester.
Yeah. 100%.
I've read the third Fester, dude. I know the third Fester.
Cool. Do you have any, yeah, do you have any notes?
Oh yeah. I thought that, adding the giant coal at the end, where all the Fester's lemmings into his urethra, mm-hmm, was a little too fetish on Front Street.
Little bit. Yeah. 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 Huh. Yeah. I thought it was sound storytelling. So,
yeah. And it comes from a true place. Like I could read the eroticism in it, but I just felt like you got maybe metaphor that up, like,
yeah,
have the Fester's go into a train tunnel or something.
What you're worried about is making the reader complicit in something, yes, that they don't necessarily want to be a participant in. Yeah. No, I can see that sensitivity.
When picking up the third Fester, like based on the cover art, I feel like you should know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You know, I just, since the advanced copy doesn't have, I hadn't seen the cover art yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hmm. Well, okay. Well, I'll take that back. I mean, I'm on like my eighth draft right now.
So. No, it's okay. I'm happy to have some feedback, and it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
I festered all over my belly, and then I took a shower to wash the fester off.
Yeah, I'd call a doctor about that.
Yeah, it was you know, it was a Christopher Lloyd-esque orgasm.
Yeah.
Marty, it was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Marty, and then
you didn't think the Back to the Future crossover was too gratuitous, a little bit too fan servicey.
You know, I thought so, but then I also realized I'm an old man, so everything is now like Jack Link's X Doritos. I figured it was just one of those things.
True. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that whole scene is like pending, you know, if I can
reach
the, yeah, I've got to get the rights from the estate of, what's his name? Zemeckis. So,
yeah.
I don't know if he's dead, but I'm working on his estate anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to skip the person and go right to the estate. Sometimes the estate is actually a little easier to deal with, I feel like.
Not a lot of ego there. You know, they necessarily wouldn't take prima facie objection to what happens to Cousin It.
No.
And they just want the money simultaneously. They do. Yeah, yeah.
The estate's not making tons of money before the person dies.
Yeah.
You know, so they're pretty hard up. And eventually the person will die. So, you know, win-win. Like, they just have to play the waiting game.
Yeah. Do you think I should write it so Thing gets out? Because he's pretty far up there by the time that scene ends. And I don't know if he should stay lodged there for the rest of the...
Sequel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Sequel hook. Leave him up there. Mm. Cliffhanger.
Addams Family, the third Fester, the rise of Thing. Gotcha. Yeah,
rise of Thing. And then it all takes place inside your body.
Okay.
Your gigantic mega mushroom goal.
There we go. Yeah. No. Okay. Let me put that on a note card. Yeah. All right. There we go. Yeah. This has been productive.
No, it's we should write this off.
Mm.
That is exactly what happens in Big Sky Trooper.
For all I could tell. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I got it. If there are like rich mechanics in this, I didn't, they were not evidenced in the, you know, 20 or so minutes that I played it. There were like, I didn't see like a lot of hooks. There was an inventory system that I didn't really fuck around with, but like the loop was pretty clear. Like you navigate on a big map, like going from start, like planet to planet, and you've got to get to a certain planet on this network graph. And then you just kind of repeat the same thing. You do asteroids over the planet to, kill the slugs, which are taking over human space. To kill their spaceships, and then you go to the surface and then always kill all of them, and then you go back up and you go to the next planet. It seemed really repetitive to me.
Sometimes there's a little lore dump on the planet, the story is, it's got that kind of like loose LucasArts kind of thing, like where you know they want to be wacky, but to what end? You know, it doesn't have as much cohesion as like a Zombies Ate My Neighbors or any of their adventure games. Like they're called slugs, and they're led by the Sultan of Slugs, or Sultan of Slime, which I like. And there's a funny little the cartoon general from the insurance commercials, the Ringu's out of your TV in the beginning to give you a series of tests. And I thought that scene was cute.
You know,
I kind of liked that.
And no matter how you'd like the tests are, you know, like, oh, take your temperature, test your reflexes, but it doesn't matter. And then the intelligence test is write your name. And for that, you become 21 star general. Like that is.
Yes, that's cute. Yeah. You know, it is when he takes your temperature. He goes, wow, you're hot.
Yeah,
It's a little weird to have this leering old man like pop out of this
for these
this
two boy. For these two kids.
But you can go around and play Shitty Blaster Master, Shitty Fester's Quest.
Like the only like expansion I can see in this is like, you know, like room for mechanics would be in like the meta layer. Like there's something about buying and selling, which makes me think that this might be like a more kid friendly or an attempt at a kid friendly, like Star Control kind of thing.
Like a trading game, but with these two action things kind of stapled onto it.
Yeah.
I would believe that for sure. And it's also, again, like I would believe that there are hidden depths to this and it might be cooler than it seems. It's just, it demos bad.
Yeah. On a few final notes, expect about 20 to 30 hours of gameplay with this one.
I'm okay. That seems okay. It's more just real weird that I hadn't heard of it and it doesn't have a cult following like everything LucasArts does.
Yeah.
Like this has less of a cult following than Secret of Evermore, which is what the graphics kind of reminded me of.
Yeah. Was that a LucasArts?
No, but that's kind of what the guy looked like.
That was a Square thing because that had
The Amera Square. That's like the making the American team made it.
Yes. And I was going to say this was like at a nadir for LucasArts, but like it was 95. Like they were right in the middle of doing the TIE Fighter games. Like, they've got Full Throttle here. They've got The Dig. Like they were doing some relatively sophisticated things on PC. This is only shortly after, Dark Forces. So I don't know. Like it was, here's the thing, it's a very late SNES game, so I could see why it would have like slipped. I like would not have seen this on store shelves, or if I did, the cover is not does not necessarily call out to you.
The cover doesn't look like anything.
No, to me
it's like a little super deformed guy, like he kind of looks like a mecha Q-Bert with two kids next to him.
It's the robot suit that you hop into on the planet is what that is, I think.
But it's very unattractive art. On the cover. Bad. Big Sky Trooper doesn't look good as a font. You know, the logo is bad. All that stuff. Yeah. It doesn't look appealing.
No.
I love that the Wikipedia calls out that it runs on the Zam engine. I don't know what the fuck that is.
It's Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Oh, got you. Oh, now I do know what it means.
Yes.
Yeah. And that actually, but it also begs the question, like, why there aren't more Zombies Ate My Neighbors clones. You know, there's that Hercules game. And that's basically it. Zombies Ate My Neighbors like could have formed a micro genre, I feel like.
That Hercules game, Herc's Adventures, which to my knowledge is the first game that did the like when you die you have to go through a little dungeon. Which makes a good deal of sense for a Greek game in Greek myth.
And not a bad little game. A secret good Disney game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't.
No, that's not Disney themed at all. That's got nothing to do with with the Hercules movie. I don't believe so.
I'm just double checking that it's not Lucas. Oh, it's LucasArts as well.
Yeah,
as well. Yeah, for some reason I assume that was Disney Herc. Mm-hmm. But you're right.
Nope. Yep. Yeah, I think
public domain Herc. It's our Herc.
It's the people's Herc.
Have you considered adding the people's Herc to the third fester? Because you can. The public domain squad could come.
Here's the thing. I don't want it to get explicitly supernatural in the way that the Addams Family, comes out and straight up says that it's magic. Yeah. So.
God, how good is the Addams Family?
Ah, the Addams Family is so good.
Addams Family is great.
I could watch it right now.
Yeah. Seriously, like basically I'd be up for that anytime. And the sequel. They're both real fun.
Yeah.
Uncle Fester is great. Christopher Lloyd, great.
Yeah. 100%. And we've sang enough praises for I wasn't Robert Loggia. That's not who played Gomez.
Well, and also you're bringing up an important point. We have not sung enough praises of Robert Loggia. Phenomenal and $1 billion movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can name anything else he's been in.
He's Skeletor in the live action He-Man, but I'm not sure if that's him.
Yeah. Have you seen? I've posted the link to this several times. It's an amazing commercial from either the late 90s or early 2000s, where it's like Sonny D, and this little kid is his parents. His mom is trying to get him to drink his juice, right? She's like, why won't you drink this juice? Like, what would it take? You know, like, maybe if Robert Loggia told me. And then just from a puff of smoke, out comes Robert Loggia. Hey, kid.
This juice has incredible. These...
Yeah. It's just,
my cough, goddamn thumbs.
No, he doesn't even like become a hard ass to him or anything. Yeah, he just is just like, hey, I'm Robert Loggia.
I'm going to inform you about juice.
I'm going to inform you about all the vitamins and minerals that are in this juice, and I'm just going to be slick in my suit here, looking vaguely mafioso. It's amazing.
That's phenomenal. I gotta find that before anyone yells at me or corrects me. It's Frank Langella.
Masters
of the Universe, who I get confused with Robert Loggia sometimes.
Yes, it's a Minute Maid commercial. I will send you a link to it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's real weird, the idea that, like, man, kids will not drink this juice. Like, kids love juice.
What's wrong with my sundaes?
Yeah, it's very what's wrong with my sundaes. What do I got to do to get you into the sugar water, kid? You know?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
I mean, who knows with kids?
Speaking of Robert Loggia, has anybody ever been as red as Robert Loggia is in the $1 billion movie?
He's really red.
He's not the picture of health in that movie.
He's Pantone Loggia.
It was the color of the year for 2011.
Yeah, it's Robert Loggia $1 billion movie. He doesn't look very healthy, but he looks also seems so vital.
Oh yeah,
you know, he's like so virile because if anyone who's listening to this has never seen $1 billion movie,
which is everybody.
I like sketch comedy shows have a bad track record with feature films.
Yes.
People don't like Brain Candy, they don't like Run Ronnie Run and stuff. I have a soft spot for all those. Specifically, I really love $1 billion movie. I think that movie's great. Robert Loggia is the villain in it, and he just plays a Robert Loggia villain straight. There's no Tim and Eric-ness to how he performs. He's just incredibly scary and mad the whole time. And it's wonderful. And red. Redder than hell.
He's red and he yells everything. And it is like you do not want to be in the same room as Robert Loggia in $1 billion movie.
There's a scene where he's torturing Tim and Eric's mothers for information. And they're like Tim and Eric weirdo non-professional actors who they hire who are bad at things with Robert Loggia, Robert fucking Loggia, who is a great actor, be at his absolute scariest interfacing with them, and it's just a joy to see. Really, really good.
It's somehow more menacing than if they just pulled Frank Booth in from Blue Velvet.
Big Frank Booth energy.
Yeah.
Man, Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia.
Love the Loggia.
Of course, I am thinking of Raul Julia, but you can see how I would make that. I'm going to heap a little bit of praise. What about Morticia in that one? What's her name?
Angelica Houston. No,
Angelica Houston. Yes,
it is Angelica Houston. There we go.
Yes.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And perfect Always. Performance. There's actually no performance in that movie that's not good.
Yeah.
She's great. She's wonderful. I'm not trying to undersell that point at all.
No.
She's phenomenal. It is the picture of that. Have you gone through the torture, though? If you want a fun compare and contrast, have you gone down any rabbit holes on the Rob Zombie Monsters movie?
Oh, no. All I've seen is stills of it. And it looks like one of the most hideous things that's ever been put to digital video. Yeah.
Watch the trailer. Just for like cringe corner shit, just for you exercise that muscle, you know, like I want my balls to go up into my body from a musical number.
You just want to test that ligament. Yeah,
exactly. You're stretching.
Yeah,
it's worth a stretch to watch the trailer. And then I watched a YouTuber like was suggested to me, just, you know, talking shit about how it's bad.
Okay.
I was curious because I wanted to know what the fuck they did, you know, like the Monsters movie.
Well, I mean, you're not disposed to liking the Munsters at all.
Yeah, but this pleases no one. I think if you're a Munsters fan, you probably hate it more even.
Yeah.
Like it's I can tell it's not Munsters. Like I'm not a Munsters guy. The Munsters always seemed like a non-good Addams Family to me.
Right.
Like the Addams Family is kind of scary. It's a little bit macabre. The Munsters are just goofy time fuck-ups.
Yeah.
You know, like what do the Munsters do?
Yeah, you know? And I liked both of them, but also like the Munsters ended up on Nick at Night and on Nickelodeon weirdly when I was young enough to find the goofiness, you know, right? Nowadays,
you had access.
Yeah,
you know, and that totally makes sense. It was also like when you're a kid and something comes on in black and white, you're not expecting it to have cool monsters in it. You're expecting it to be fucking Bonanza,
or
Gunsmoke,
or the worst Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Which in retrespect is probably the best.
Probably, you know, the best. But when you're a little kid, you see that death. Little silhouette. Oh no.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Death. Masterpiece Theater is coming on. And it's going to kill me. Whereas the Munsters at the very least had a Frankenstein, even if he didn't do any Frankenstein shit.
Except get real mad sometimes and knock over the very cheap sets. Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes. You know, but I can do that. That's not to be a Frankenstein. To be a Frankenstein, to be a domestic abuser, man.
Okay.
You can be an unstable husband who knocks things over. Yeah. You just have to go to war. You don't have to become a Frankenstein for that.
Yeah. The guy who played Herman Munster was the judge in My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The movie that they made is a Technicolor musical nightmare. That is weirdly horny and is absolutely full of like boing humor, like that, you know, somebody sitting down and like it just making a woof, woof, that kind of stuff for the whole fucking movie. It looks like it is excruciating looking.
Yeah. No, that's a. And I'm not inherently a Rob Zombie movie, you know.
Sure,
just the Devil's Rejects is good, you know, like those two or whatever. But like a Robert Zombie, passion project like that. No, thank you.
It's interesting that it's like something he's wanted to do for so long, but the thing he wanted to do was this.
Yeah,
I find that very odd.
Mm-hmm.
It was shot for all kinds of tax breaks reasons and shit.
Like dumped onto a streaming service. What was it, like a Hulu original or something?
It's a something original. I don't even know if it made it to Hulu. It might be a Tubi or a Roku original.
The Tubi zone.
It sucks that Roku originals are such a joke, because that Weird Al movie that came out, that's a Roku original.
I still need to see that, is the thing.
It's great.
It's
funny and good. It is legitimately laugh out loud funny throughout.
I do not recognize a single person in the cast of this Munster movie besides Cassandra Peterson. They got Elvira in it.
They got Elvira, and a lot of the people are people who play monsters in his various Corpse House movies.
Okay.
Apparently.
Huh.
But apparently very bad casting.
Yeah.
All around the board.
Oh, and it's his wife playing Lily. Yeah. Oh no. Oh, yeah. Oh, buddy.
And who do you think you are? Paul P.T. Anderson or Paul Anderson?
Who do you think you are? Tim Burton? Come on.
Yeah, you don't get to do that. It's weird. Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, no thank you.
What did the monsters? So I remember there's like a Frankenstein Wolfman mummy or Frankenstein Wolfman vampire trio. Uh-huh. Who else was in the fucking monsters?
So it was Frankenstein as the dad, the wife and the grandfather were both vampires. Oh, so yeah. Lily and grandpa, were both vampires.
Yes.
The son was a wolf boy.
Wolf boy.
Yeah. And then like their live-in niece, the Luann of the situation, what was her name? Marianne, I think, something like that.
Marilyn Munster.
Marilyn Munster. She was just a human. But yeah, because so because she was raised in this family, the ongoing joke is that this very beautiful young woman is like the ugly one. She's like this, just completely, you know, okay. Hideous. You basically like, here's our attic stooge who happens to be a traditionally beautiful.
Right. That Twilight Zone episode.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Standards of beauty are arbitrary.
Subjective. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though everyone except for Herman Munster looks fine.
Uh-huh.
Herman Munster is a fucking cryptid, yeah, and you should hunt him to the end of the earth. But everyone else looks fine.
Yeah, you know? But Butch Patrick is a little wolf boy.
Yeah, you know? But yeah. You know that happens. Sometimes you get.
Sometimes you know,
he's
a wolf
boy. He's an otter.
Yeah. Sometimes you get a wolf boy.
Yeah,
that's like Eddie Munster's an otter.
Sorry.
You keep on touching that stove. Stop.
I know.
You kept on giving me that note about the third fester. And I'm like, I'm not going to cross these streams, bro.
I know.
But they also had a pet dragon who lived under the stairs named Spot.
Yes. I'm just trying to think of like, this had 70 episodes over two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what kind of things happened in it? Because the cool thing about the Addams Family to me was that they were always getting visitors,
mm-hmm,
that were cool new weirdos.
Yes.
You know, you had a similar kind of cast in terms of makeup, but they, you know, they'd be like, oh, here's, you know, a new person. Here's Aristotle Pugsley's pet octopus.
Yes.
You know, neat. They have a man-eating plant. Things like that.
The problem with the Munsters, kind of at a fundamental level, was like, yes, they were these, you know, spooky monster family, but they were trying to live in society. So it was just sitcom tropes that were applied to this monster family.
Yeah, it's supposed to be funny because he looked like a nightmare.
Right. It's like, yeah. Marilyn's boss would be coming over for dinner and we have to really impress him. And when he comes over, it's like, whoa.
We got to pretend not to be Frankensteins in this shit.
Yeah. Certainly. Like, yeah. It was, they were not trying to hide it either. It was just, they were treating it as, hey, we are normal. And it was everybody else's reaction. Like, oh, okay. Well, I guess they're just weird. And then they went on.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing that is a sub thing in What We Do in the Shadows, which is like a better, yeah, version of that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, they invite people over and they try to pass, but it's not the only joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Munsters. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is the story, is it canonically their last name is Monster, but they change it to fit in better?
I don't know. I don't know if they changed it or if it was changed at Monster Ellis Island.
Yeah.
Monster, no, Ellis, it was Monster Ellis Island.
Peninsula.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the place where all the monsters went.
I'd rather go to Candy Apple Ellis Island. I can imagine it being changed there, mm-hmm, as well.
Yeah. Oh. You know, I don't have a lot of gas in the tank for Monster Ellis Island.
it's adjacent to bad stuff.
Yeah,
you know, it's somebody could be a shithead about it, which, yeah, I wouldn't, true, like. But also, it's just I don't know. I think that with 2023 eyes, if monsters want to immigrate and go through, yeah, the Ellis Island experience, I want to support them and give them citizenship.
Yeah,
at this point, I want to be good for them.
The best joke that I could come up with is something like, that's where all of the monsters and also weirdly the Portuguese were sent. Just pick one of those like not discriminated against countries and just say like, yeah. Oh yeah, for some reason in the early, you know, in the 19th century we thought Portuguese were monsters.
Find a country that like a safe,
yeah, where it's and Portugal's done a bunch of terrible stuff on the world stage, so we're fine there.
It's tricky though.
Yes, it is tricky. It's fraught.
You could do like a New Yorker cartoon where somebody could be there and be like, this isn't right. You know, but again, then somebody's going to read it and be like, oh, they're saying that immigrants are monsters.
Yeah, yeah. Like what do each of these monsters map onto? Yeah. Not what I want to do. I think that's just one of those concepts that you just like kiss on and then and then move forward.
Yeah. It's not going to be a new shirt.
No.
Did you know that there's a third Addams Family live action movie? Addams Family Reunion?
Was that the one where Luis Guzman plays the main guy?
Those are the newer ones. This one is in 1998, and it's Daryl Hannah and Tim Curry as Morticia. And it's about finding out their grandparents have developed something called Alzheimer's disease that has turned them, made them normal. So Gomez plans a family reunion. This seems like I would watch. I'm sure this is not considered good since nobody talks about the third one
ever. Right.
But I want to see a bunch of weird Adamses.
I would like to see that too. This is a Mandela effect thing. This doesn't exist.
It's appropriate for Big Sky Trooper.
Yeah.
This is a good, you know, they replaced Uncle Fester. They recast him with Patrick Thomas, who that's obviously worse. But Tim Curry is also, that's a good Gomez.
That is a very good, a very good Gomez for Tim Curry. Yeah. That's why I stopped to think maybe I would have seen this.
Yes.
Like maybe this would have stuck out to me somehow, but the fact that nobody talks about it does not bode well.
How many movies do you think have the credit Clint Howard as dog catcher uncredited? I bet you it's more than just this one. Like, do you think that's probably like a third of his IMDb by volume?
The dog catcher doesn't have to feature prominently for that credit to be in there.
No, and he just does it for the love of the game at this point. He wanders around the back lots just seeing if anyone needs a dog catcher.
Just with a big old net. Yeah. Dog catcher uncredited in Philadelphia. Yeah. Good Lord.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Mr. Hanks. I got a pooch on the loose. Ding, 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 ding.
they kept on insisting that they cut that scene, but you know, the director of Philadelphia, who I cannot name off the top of my head, stuck to his guns.
It's not Ron Howard, is it? Because that would be a nice little perfect bit of, I don't think so though. That would be really funny.
Yeah.
It's somebody, but who did
no, it's not somebody.
Jonathan Demme. It's Jonathan Demme.
Yeah, Jonathan Demme. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Who looks a little bit like a Batman villain now?
He does.
I gotta eat some lunch. If people like the show, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. If you want to hear more, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah.
$5 a month.
$5 a month, you get 2 extra episodes per month and access to a whole bunch of other cool stuff. And you support us and you allow us to, you know, keep our producer Gwen around, who we appreciate. Thank you, Gwen.
We really appreciate Gwen. We really appreciate you. We appreciate if you tell your friends. All those things are very appreciated. And what should they do until next time?
Yeah, until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, where the secret sauce is mostly ketchup.